Praise the Lord. We're going to read from John chapter 20. We're actually going to be reading quite a bit of the chapter. Our scripture this morning, we're just reading verses 1 through 10. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Oh Lord, as we open your word today, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to understand what you want, Lord, in our lives. Bless your word to our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you like surprises? Good ones, I mean. All right? One of the ones that I have a favorite memory of was my 40th birthday. That was a while ago. Right? Anyway, we'll leave that alone. On my 40th birthday, it happened to be a Sunday that was my 40th birthday. Okay, So we're upstairs in the service, and I can smell stuff cooking downstairs. And I thought to myself, somebody must have a family reunion after church, and they've got the casserole in the oven down there. So it's all ready when we get done. And I didn't think anything more of it. After the service, we got done. Everybody left pretty quickly, you know. Pretty soon, somebody came upstairs and escorted me downstairs to the fellowship hall. And here was my parents and my brothers and sisters and everybody there. And yelled surprise, you know. And we had a great dinner. They roasted me after the dinner, after we had the roast whatever else we had. But it was fun. We had a good time, all right? And I like that kind of surprise, don't you? But then there are other surprises that aren't so much fun. Like when the nurse at my mom's facility where she was living, where her apartment was, called to tell us that they had found her on the floor and had sent for the ambulance and she was going to the hospital. That was a surprise I could have done without, right? We all have surprises that are disconcerting from time to time in our lives. That first Easter day, that was a day of surprises. And you know what? First, it wasn't really clear whether those surprises were good or not. Looking back 2,000 years, we read this story, and it's so joyful, and we're so happy about it, you know. But when we put ourselves in the place of some of those who went through it at the time it happened, and put ourselves in their shoes, well, maybe it was a little different. Them. I think there are some things that we can learn from their experience. So let's look at them. For example, Mary Magdalene, she was surprised. It was still dark in the morning when she and the other women went to the tomb. They were going there to embalm Jesus because there hadn't been time to do it then on Friday night when they buried him, and then there was the Sabbath, and so on the first day of the week, they went there, and when they got there, the stone was rolled away, and the body was gone. Surprise. Wasn't a very good surprise for her. She was bewildered. She'd been right there when they put him in the tomb. She thought, somebody moved him somewhere. What do we do now? Peter and John were no help. When she went to tell them, they all came back to the tomb. They looked inside. Then they ran away. What was she supposed to do now? It was all pretty puzzling and shocking. All right. She wandered around, kind of dazed, crying, feeling lost. Finally, she went back to the tomb. We pick it up in John chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15, where it says this. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, She bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Then he said her name. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said, and that he had said those things to her. Surprise! He really was alive. He told her to go and tell the disciples. What did she learn? What can we learn from Mary Magdalene's surprise? Surprise! God keeps his promises. He always does, even when it seems like things are not going to work out. He always keeps his promises. Yesterday, we were moving my mom's stuff out from her apartment, and there were some of those things that needed to go to my sister Penny's new apartment, or new room that she's moving to in a couple of weeks. And so we were getting ready to take the stuff over there, and I had earlier this week, I had set something up with someone to make sure the home was open. And all of a sudden, we're packing, and I realized I didn't get a hold of them this morning to confirm that. Okay? So I call her number, voicemail. It's Saturday afternoon on Easter weekend. Okay? I'm thinking, oh no. You know what I did? I cried out unto the Lord. Right? God is able. Right? I got a call back in a few minutes. "Yeah, the house is open. Go ahead." We went there. Everything was fine. Not a problem at all. God is faithful. I want to give him praise for that. Because I was thinking, I got this U-Haul truck here. I've got it just for today. Tomorrow's Easter. What am I going to do if I can't get in that house? God took care of the problems. We can trust him to keep his promises. Look at Psalm 145, verse 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." Hey, that's us. God's made us. He's faithful to all his promises. And he is loving to us. Even when it doesn't seem like things are going the way we think they should, we can trust in our God. Mary found that out because even when she thought all was lost, she realized that Jesus had kept his promise. God loves his people. Do you doubt that? Sometimes we do, don't we? God, if you love me, why? But he does. He loves his people. And he always keeps his promises. Say it with me. He always keeps his promises. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus had told him he would rise to life on the third day, and he kept his promise. And there's another promise that God has given us that we remember on this day of Easter as well. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Where Paul says this, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let me ask you, do you need encouragement today? Maybe you're wondering why you're going through trials, why this problem that you've had, or this health crisis that you've had, or this grief that you have, is so heavy to bear. And you're wondering whether God really loves you or not. And you need to be encouraged. Maybe you are wondering what to do about a broken relationship. Maybe it seems hopeless. I want to tell you today, be encouraged by the fact that God keeps his promises. Be encouraged by the fact that even though we deal with death, there's a resurrection coming. Don't lose hope, because Christ is coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him a clap off. Be encouraged. God has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. And he will keep that promise. And you know what? Even when the world comes to an end, even when our life comes to an end, even when our loved ones die, we can know that Jesus is coming again to raise the dead to life and to make the world right again. So be encouraged and believe today. Mary believed when her heart was broken and Jesus came back to life just as he said he would. And he's going to keep his promise to bring those who believe in him to life as well. Thomas was surprised. Let's look at John 20 again, verses 19 to 23. This is what happens on Easter evening. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed him his hand and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But there was a problem. See, Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't there that night. Yeah, the others told him their cockle story. But Jesus had come in and blessed them and told them to go out and spread the good news that he was alive. But you know, he wasn't going to be taken in by all of that. He didn't know what they saw. Maybe it was a ghost. Maybe it was a group hallucination or something, you know. They were desperate, ready to believe in anything. He wasn't so easy. Not Thomas. He wasn't going to be fooled by some hallucination they had. So he told them, look at verse 24, "I won't believe it, lest I can touch the nail scars in his hand and put my hand in the place where they put the spear into his side." Then, suddenly, even though the door was locked, Jesus was there with them in the room. And Jesus invited Thomas to come and touch the scars. See, it was a different kind of body. He hadn't thought of that. A different kind of body that could live even after death. Look at verse 27 to 29. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, they say that seeing is believing, like Pastor Wayne says, though with Jesus, believing is seeing, right? But we haven't seen him. We're those he's talking about when he says, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and still believe." Wow. Look at verse 30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Wow. Life in his name. Jesus rose to life, and we can too, see? What can we who haven't seen and have still believed because of the testimony of those who did see it learn from this, right? Surprise! Doubters are welcome. Aren't you glad for that? Wow. It was that way for Thomas, and it's still that way. Do you have doubts? Well, probably most of us have doubts once in a while. There's a lot we don't understand about what God tells us. There's a lot we don't understand about what he does and what he allows in our life. But it's true. And Jesus says to you as well, stop doubting and believe. Give Jesus your doubt. Believe it, and you too can experience new life. And you can receive him today. If you've never done that, please don't leave without coming to pray with us. We'll be glad to introduce you into a personal relationship with the God who came down to live with us and gave his life and then rose from the dead to give you eternal life. You need to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And then you can look forward to your own resurrection. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Are you looking forward to that? I am. All right. Every time you pop those pills, you know, you think, I need a new body. God's got one ready for us. Praise the Lord. "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Thomas stopped doubting. He believed, and his belief was not in vain, nor was his labor. Because we know from history that Thomas took the gospel to India. Some of the oldest churches in the world are in India, where Thomas planted churches. because he finally believed. He laid aside his doubt. He put his belief to work in his life, and it changed him, and it can change you as well. Stop doubting and believe, like Thomas. God can use you. He sent them out. He's sending us out still to take the gospel around the world. Peter was surprised. Look at John 21, verse 15 through 19. John 21, verse 15 and 19. The scene here is where they decided to go fishing. Peter was wondering, I guess this ministry thing didn't work out very well. I might as well go back to being a fisherman. I failed the Lord. I guess I'm not fit for ministry at all. So we went fishing. They often went fishing at night. There are lots of reasons for that. They do that in the Philippines too. The sun's pretty hot out there on the ocean. You know, when you're in a outrigger canoe, okay, doing your fishing. And as well, if you have a light on your boat, the fish are attracted to you. So that's when most of the people in that day would go out fishing, is during the night. He'd been out all night. They'd cast their nets. Wow. Even fishing isn't going to work anymore. I can't even catch fish. What good am I? Then they heard somebody calling from the shore. It reminded Peter of the first time he'd met Jesus. Could it be? What? Let down their nets again? Okay, let's try it. They throw the net in. So many fish, they can't even get the net back into the boat. All right? It's Jesus. Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore. He can't wait to see the Lord. And we'll pick it up in verse 15. It says that Jesus fixed them breakfast. He had some fish and some bread cooking on fire when they got there. Verse 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you really love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lamb. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Now, I need to tell you, if you haven't heard this, that in the Greek, you can see that the first two times that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus uses the word love. But Peter, when he answers and says, yes, you know I love you, he uses the word that says, I'm your friend. Okay? He doesn't say, I love you. He says, I'm your friend. So then the third time Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time Jesus changed the word in the Greek. It says, the equivalent of Simon, son of John, are you my friend? It says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I loved you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the time, the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. There's an exclamation point on that. Follow me! I've told you already three times. Follow me. You can imagine that when Peter heard Jesus ask that question, he thought, Yeah, I knew we were going to get to that someday. I betrayed him. Now he's questioning my love. I can't really say that I love him after what I did. Maybe at least I can say I'm his friend. Then he heard Jesus' words. What does he mean? Feed my sheep. He can't possibly have work for me to do for him after I betrayed him. How could that be? Jesus asked it again. He even questioned whether Peter was his friend or not. But he still had a job for Peter to do. He said, don't worry about the past. We're moving on. Follow me. You know what? That's what God wants to say to you. Follow me. Don't look back. Because see, what can we learn? There's always a tomorrow with God. That's what today's about. New beginning. New life. Putting the past in the past. Following Jesus into a new life and a new hope. Praise the Lord. You may think that God can't use you because you haven't been faithful to Him sometimes. Well, you know what? You probably haven't abandoned Jesus to the degree that Peter did. And yet God had work for him to do. And what work? To be the leader of the mission to take the gospel to the world. It wasn't long after this, just 7 weeks, that God used Peter to preach the sermon that brought thousands of people into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit fell and empowered them, and Peter was right at the center. See, God can use people even who have been unfaithful. Peter went on to be the leader in spreading the gospel to the world. He even wrote some of the scriptures. Here's one of them from 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 25. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like a sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Do you need to return to him today? Maybe straight away. The time for you to say to Jesus, I've been unfaithful, but I want you to give me that new life. I want to be used by you to do your work in the world. Jesus died so that you could be healed from your sin, from your past, from your sins, from your fear, from your diseases. Who you used to be doesn't matter anymore. What matters is who God wants you to be and can make you to be if you let His life flow in yours. That's what Easter is about, see? It applies to every one of us. We celebrated the communion earlier to remember that we can live new lives because Jesus died and rose again. But you know what we need to do? We need to choose today to be new people, filled with His Spirit like Peter was, used by Him to carry out His work in the world. New people with His life in us. What can we learn? God is a God of surprises. And you know what? They're the good kind. Let's pray. Thank you for surprising us, Lord, with your love. We confess to you, Lord, we're not worthy of what you did for us. But we thank you that because of your grace, Lord, you're willing to give us eternal life. God, if there's someone here today who has never received you as Savior and Lord, I pray that they will make that decision to follow you today, Lord. And I'm asking you, God, to make them willing to keep following you. Make us all willing to keep following. Even when we're in despair, even when we're discouraged, even when we've been unfaithful, even when we have doubts. Lord, help us to keep following you. We ask this in Jesus' name.